Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's truly a blessing to be here, and certainly want to thank God for the opportunity. Thank God for your pastor, Pastor Rick, and the confidence that he's displayed in giving me this opportunity. Thank God for Brother Johnny and his diligence in making sure I knew the right date and time and all that stuff that was involved in that. Thank God for my wife and children being with me. Lately, I've been doing a lot of traveling by myself and get kind of stuck in my ways a little bit. And having them on the road with me has helped me kind of thaw out, I guess, a little bit. It's a little bit different, but I do thank God for them being with me. Reason my wife hasn't been able to travel as often as in the past is because she's a student, a law student at the University of Tennessee, and I ask that y'all would pray with me that she get right with God. I won't hold it against her, Brother Johnny. And Brother Johnny, let me help you. Let me help you how to. Let me help you, cause I travel all over the country. So you just right here in quote unquote ball country or Virginia Tech country or whatever. See. See, you just right here in this little area here. I go all over the country, you know. I was just up in Buckeye country last week. I've been around the West Virginia Mountaineer. I've been around all along. Let me help my Seminole fans, family. Let me help y'all. Let me help y'all on how to deal with all these naysayers. We the champs. That's it. When you're the champ, you can dress up in your Florida State outfit and go anywhere you want to and dare somebody to say something. We the champs. I was talking to one brother yesterday, and he going, brother, what he said, I apologize if I offended you by what you said. He got to talk about LSU and everybody else and the SEC and this and that and the other. I apologize if I offended you by what I said. I looked at him. How you going to offend me? We the champs. Y'all, that SEC stuff is old. You're only good as your last outing. And the last game, the last football game an SEC played, they lost. SEC team played, they lost. No apologies. Go Noles. Hey, man, let me go ahead on for y'all. Y'all might not want to hear me preach after this. I appreciate the encouraging words and the level of expectation that many of you have conveyed, and, of course, the prayers and all that's been involved in this meeting. And praise God for the testimony and how God has worked and is working in the heart of your young people. And, of course, I guess y'all went on a where did y'all go? Youth retreat, amen. Praise the Lord for that, and God is at work. And I appreciate that song. I appreciate that song. And thank God for his precious blood that was shed on Calvary's cross for old sinner like me. Amen. Thank God for his blood. It has been a burden to, kind of speaking to what Pastor Rick spoke on, to really know what to know the mind of God and what God wants to have me to preach. And sometimes preaching a message that I'm about to preach can be somewhat tough. But I'm going to preach it anyway, and because I don't want to get in trouble with God, and I believe this is what God wants me to preach. And I don't mean to rain on anybody. I don't mean to rain on anybody's parade, but this is Bible Way Baptist Church. Now, I ain't asked nobody, I ain't asked Pastor Rick how did the name Bible Way come about, but I believe in saying that name and thinking on Bible Way Baptist Church. I would like to think that I'm at a church where people agree with the Bible, and we like to do things the Bible way. So if me preaching the Bible make you mad, then y'all might want to change y'all church name. You sure ought to want to change your Wi-Fi password. King James 16:11. Amen. 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 Let me go ahead on before I be up here all morning and y'all don't get a chance to eat on time. Amen. I'm trying to get into the message some kind of way. Amen. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 2. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. We'll begin reading at verse number 12 in just a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 2, we'll begin reading at verse number 12 in just a moment. In 1 Samuel, there is a note of failure that runs through the early portion of this book of the Bible. The office of the priest sank to an all-time low during the days of Eli. And in 1 Samuel, chapter number 2, the Bible takes us inside the family of Eli and allows us to see the corruption that existed in this priestly family. So in 1 Samuel, chapter 2, beginning at verse number 12, the Bible says, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of 3 teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan or kettle or caldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now. And if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord." Look with me again in verse number 12 in this chapter. Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 12. The Bible says, they knew not the Lord. They knew not the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I do thank you for this time. God, we do thank you for Pastor Rick, dear God, and his wife and family. Thank you, dear God, for Bible Way Baptist Church, Lord God, and the people that have made this their church home. Thank you for how you've worked and are working in the lives of these young people. And thank you for a church who realized the significance of young people, dear God, knowing you and serving you, not tomorrow, as mentioned, but today, dear God, for all we have is today, God. Now, I pray and ask you to help us, dear God. Help us, Lord, to submit ourselves unto you. Help us to draw nigh to you, dear God, that you might draw nigh to us, dear God. Help us, Lord, with open hearts to receive thy word, dear God. And, Lord, that you would give increase as only you can, dear God. Help me, Lord, to die to my old wretched self, to put off my own agenda, dear God. Forgive me of my sins and thoughts, words, and deeds. God, fill me with thy spirit. God, protect us from the flesh, the devil, and this world, dear God. Lord, have your way during this hour. Help us to not be distracted, but attentive to thy word, dear God. Lord, we do praise you and thank you in advance, knowing that you can do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, dear God. And Lord, if there's someone here that does not know your son, the Lord Jesus, as their personal savior, may this be the glad day of their salvation before it's eternally too late. And when the last amen is said, help us to be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, in which thou art so worthy of. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, amen and amen. Eli, the judge and priest, was very old, and the administration of the tabernacle had fallen to his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And when the people of Israel came to worship God at Shiloh, Hophni and Phinehas was there. However, there was one huge problem. One big problem, might I add. Hophni and Phinehas knew not the Lord. We don't have to look real far in this day and age in which we live to realize that we live in a biblically illiterate society. I'm telling you that whether you walk down the street
or turn on the television, it's very easy to find people that do not know the true and living God. However, the sad commentary is that there are people in our church today that really don't know the Lord. There are people that name the name Jesus, and I'm not in the business of causing anyone to doubt their salvation. But there are people that'll say, hey, I'm saved. I've been born again in the family of God. And the truth of the matter is, it stops right there. They have gone no further in their walk with God. They've got no stronger in their knowledge of the true and living God. Therefore, the purpose of this message today is to forewarn us, not just you, but us, me included. To forewarn us, watch this now. You done seen people walk into service before. Look this way, listen this way. To forewarn us of the danger, or should I say, the negative effect that your lack of knowledge and my lack of knowledge can have on other people. Now, as we take a closer look at this particular passage of scripture, notice, first of all, the ignorance of Hophni and Phinehas. The ignorance of Hophni and Phinehas. Look with me at verse number 12 again. The Bible says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. Here it is. They knew not the Lord. Here we find in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 12 that Hophni and Phinehas are emphatically spoken of as being totally ignorant of God. These boys were priests of the Lord. These boys were, quote unquote, or these young men were ministers in the tabernacle. Yet they were ignorant of God's word. They were ignorant of God's will. They were ignorant of God's work. The Bible clearly declares they knew not the Lord. They didn't know God. They didn't know God. And as we think about their ignorance, let me give you three things from this verse. Number one, they were the sons of Eli. Let's look at it again. Verse 12. Now, just as I said, the sons of Eli. You say, what's the significance of that? Now, well, if you know who Eli was, at that time, Eli was a priest. Eli was a judge. Eli was a preacher. And if ever, watch this now, and I know sometimes preachers' kids get unrealistic expectations placed upon them. But the truth of the matter is, if ever there would be some young men who ought to know the Lord, it ought to be the preacher's kids. Let me help with some. Let me bring it close to my house. I realize that me being a preacher does not guarantee that my son and my daughter are going to grow up and know God. And that's what we find here. There's nothing new under the sun. These boys were the son of a preacher man, yet they didn't know God. Now, somebody might want to say, well, Eli was a sorry father. And I'm sure he had his faults, and we can find some of them later on in this chapter. His passivity as a father, his failure to deal with their sin. Yes, yes, yes. But watch this now. We ain't going to put it all on Eli. You know why? Because we independent Baptists and we know better than that. You say, what you talking about, brother? Watch this. Part of our Baptist distinctive, watch this, is individual soul liberty. You know what that means? We all got a choice. Let me help parents with something. No matter how bad you want God for your children, it's up to them to decide. And apparently, Hophni and Phinehas decided they didn't want God. They were totally ignorant of God. They were the sons of Eli. They were the sons of Belial in verse 12 again. Now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. That word Belial speaks of them being worthless young men. That word Belial speaks of them being good for nothing. Let me help with some. If you leave God out your life, I don't care how old you are, you'll end up being good for nothing. Good for nothing. Because you see, apart from Jesus Christ, I can do nothing. I don't care who I play football for, how many championships we done won. Without Jesus, I'm nothing. It's about Jesus. Ain't about me. And you understand that. It's about Jesus. And these boys decided again that they ain't want nothing to do with God. They were the sons of Belial. Ignorant, worthless, good for nothing. They didn't stop there. Not only were they the sons of Eli, not only were they the sons of Belial. And verse 12, now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. Watch this. They knew not the Lord. I don't know about you, but as I think about it even now, the number that comes to mind is zero. When it comes to God, there was nothing there in their hearts. In other words, not only were they the sons of Eli, not only were they the sons of Belial, they were strangers to God. Can you imagine that? They're at the tabernacle. They're quote-unquote priests. They're quote-unquote servants, but they were strangers to God. They were lost sinners, one heartbeat from hell. You say, brother, what are you trying to say to us? Some of y'all need to breathe because it looks like you're holding your breath. Breathe. It's okay. We're going to make it through this together. They were strangers to God. You say, what does that have to do with us? Here's what I'm saying. And watch this. We met, Pastor Van Noy, remind me where we met at. I ain't even remember. Over at Oak Glen. Here's the thing. As an evangelist, you have to go, as you're led, as God leads you, you have to show up at churches not really knowing what's going on in a church, not knowing the people in a church or what have you. So I don't want to stand up here and sound like I'm judging you. You know, people say, don't be judging me. I ain't judging you. I'm just trying to be a faithful messenger of the Bible. Here's the point I'm trying to make as we think about, and I'm purposely standing right here in front of young folk, but I'm not just them alone, all of us. Here's the point I'm trying to make as we think about the ignorance of Hophni and Phinehas. Watch this. It's possible to grow up in a Christian environment. Hey, it's possible to attend Christian activities and still not know God. And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord Jesus said, ye must be born again. If you're here and you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never been born again in the family of God, then you don't know God. You're a lost sinner, and we're not picking at you. But if you die without Jesus, hear me now, you'll die in your sin, and you'll spend your eternity in the devil's hell. You say, brother, what are you saying? I'm saying to you that church attendance don't save you. I'm saying water baptism don't save you. I'm saying being the son or the daughter of Christian parents don't save you. Going to youth camp don't save you. Jesus only saves. The Lord Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. There's no other way for you to have your sins forgiven than by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, being washed in his precious blood. It's possible. There's somebody here. You might have good intentions. I don't know. I don't know your heart. And you're not saved. And I'm not, again, not just talking about young people, adults as well. Because here, watch this now, but let's back up just a little bit. You know why I believe God would have me to preach a message like this, even in a church setting like this, where you would assume most people know the Lord? I didn't say this, but I'm a member of Temple Baptist Church there in Powell, Tennessee. Dr. Clarence Sexton is my pastor. And I'm a representative of Crown College of the Bible and Seminary, a graduate also. I can't tell you the number of times that I've seen good young people, what we would call good young people, leaders in our youth groups, come forward in services and say, I'm not saved. I need to get saved. Yeah. I hope she don't mind me saying this. As a young person, my wife's parents were lost. My mother-in-law, my father-in-law got saved. My father-in-law got called to be a pastor, and he actually pastored a church for several years. My daughter, not my daughter, my wife, went to Bible college, and they're in Florida. But you know when she got saved? After she graduated from Bible college. Several years as a preacher kid, several years at a Baptist Bible college, but one heartbeat from hell.
Listen, you can fake me out.
That's right.
Now, I ain't going to put him on my level. Pastor Vendor is a little sharper than me. But you still can fake him out. But you can't fake God out. God knows whether or not you're his. The ignorance of Hophni and Phinehas. You say, well, what do you say to those of us that are saved? Well, here's what I say. It's possible for us to be saved and still not know God like we should. And I listened to some of your pastors preaching here lately. I listened to that one message in particular a little bit last night on the Word of God. You know why a lot of Christians don't know God like they should? Because we ain't spending no time in this blessed book. Hey, the Bible is a book about God. And if you want to get to know God, get in the book. If you're constantly neglecting this book, you really don't know God like you should. Although you might be saved. How can we get to know God if we going day by day, be it morning or evening, without spending time in the Word of God? Young people, more than you try to get to know your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Hey, more than you try to develop your sports career, you ought to want to develop your relationship with Jesus Christ. You ought to want to get to know the true and living God. I think about what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. He said, that I might know him. Paul said, hey, I just want to get to know God. Not in an intellectual way, a head knowledge, but an intimate way. I want a heartfelt relationship with Jesus Christ. And listen to what God said. Turn your Bible with me real quick to Hosea. You might say Hosea. I say Hosea. I get caught up. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about. Hosea, chapter number 4. And let's look at what God had to say concerning his people Israel. In Hosea chapter number 4, let's look at verse number 6 together. Now, of course, this is addressed to the children of Israel, but as the body of Christ is born again believers, we can draw application from this. All right? Listen to what God said as we think about the ignorance of Hophni and Phinehas in Hosea chapter number 4 and verse 6. Listen to what it says. My people. Can y'all say those first two words with me? My people. Watch this now. God is not addressing lost folk. He's talking about his people. Now let's read on. My people are destroyed for a lack of what? Come on, talk to me now. Let's try it again. My people are destroyed for a lack of what? Amen. Put an A on your paper. Because thou hast rejected what? Knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. God said, I'm going to have you represent me. I'm not going to have you to be my messenger. Watch this. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. God said, it's not that you couldn't know me. You didn't want to know me. And as one preacher said, we need a revolution back to the Bible. You say, hey, what's wrong with Christianity in our day? We done got away from the book. I think we get the point. Number one, the ignorance of Hophni and Phinehas. But let me forewarn you, it gets worse. Not only the ignorance of Hophni and Phinehas, as you turn back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2, let me give you my second point. Not only the ignorance, but notice the iniquity of Hophni and Phinehas. The iniquity of Hophni and Phinehas. Their iniquity, watch this now, was their sinful behavior in the house of God. And knowing certain terms, it wasn't the church then, but I'm going to use the word church. And knowing certain terms, I say it another way, these boys caused problems in the sanctuary. They were troublemakers. These were some sinful young men. Watch this now. They were wicked, scandalous men who took advantage of their position at the temple. As we think about their iniquity, let me give you three things. Number one, they stole from the cook's sacrifice. Look with me at verse number 13 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. The Bible says, and the priest's custom. So that word custom means a way of life, a manner of life. So understand that this was something they were given over to. This wasn't just some isolated event. This is what they did on a regular basis. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, watch this now, the priest's servant came
while the flesh was in season, so while the flesh was cooking, while the flesh was being offered up to God as a sacrifice, they came with a flesh hook and three teeth in his hand, verse 14, and he struck it into the pan or kettle or caldron or pot, all that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself, so they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. You say, brother, what are you talking about? I'm trying to tell you that when the people came to offer sacrifices, as the Bible declares, these priests were so corrupt. They were so wicked. They were so sinful. They were so given to satisfying their own fleshly desires that they stole from the offering. They stole from the offering. You say, what's wrong with that? Watch this. If you read in Leviticus, you find out that God had already allocated a certain portion of the sacrifice for the priests. God had already promised to take care of them. But what they were saying was, God, this amount you got allocated for us is not enough. We need more. So as the people offered their sacrifices, they had their little servants, their little runners to go steal a little bit more for themselves. Let me give you that in our day in which we live. There was some offering plates up here. I was going to use them for illustration, but somebody done moved them now, and that's okay. But that's like, watch this. That's like the offering plate being passed around. And somebody on staff, I ain't going to say this church. Let's talk about the church down the road somewhere. Because I know this type of stuff don't go on in this church. Amen. But anyway, I got to say it. That's like the offering plate being passed by. And somebody on church staff taking up the offering. Now, they already got a salary. They already going to get paid at the end of the week or what have you for their service to the Lord or what have you. But instead of them being content with that, once they got right up to the double doors to go out to turn the money in, they take a little bit for themselves. Yeah. Put it in their pocket. Y'all get that? Yeah. They were stealing from the offering plate. They stole the cook sacrifice. But watch this now. It get worse now. Not only did they steal the cook sacrifice, notice they stole the raw sacrifice. Look with me at verse number 15 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. The Bible says also, so in addition to what they were already doing, before they burnt the fat, the priest servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. So in other words, the priest got tired of having that boiled meat. He ain't want no boiled meat. He wanted to get it raw so he can roast it for himself. Hold on now. It's going to come together. Look at verse number 16. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently. So in other words, if a person said, hey, no, let me offer my sacrifice up. Watch what the priest would say in response to that. And then take as much as thy soul desire. Then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now. Give it to me now. And if not, I will take it by force. Can I tell you, these boys were religious bullies. They were worshiping authority over God's people. And you say, well, what's the significance of them taking from the raw sacrifice? What's the problem with that? Okay, you think about raw meat. If you're like me, you cook the little meat on the 4th of July. And one thing I noticed about raw meat when it comes to rib and chicken and stuff is that it got blood in it. Yeah, man. But not only that, again, if you study in Leviticus, you will find out that the fat, hear me now, the fat was to be offered up to who? The Lord. So watch this. These boys were robbing God. When they took from the fat, when they took the blood, and ultimately, watch this, they were demonstrating an utter disregard for the cross. Because that's all those offerings signify. The Lord Jesus Christ being offered up. His precious blood being shed. And they had no regards for the holiness of God. They had no regard for the program of Almighty God. They simply did what they wanted to do. And I'm going to tell you something. There are people in churches nowadays doing exactly what they want to do. Ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. Rock concerts and all kind of other stuff going on, and they're doing what they want to do in the house of God. And you know why they're doing it? They don't know God. some of our behaviors, the things we listen to, the things we look at, the places we go, how we dress sometimes, it testifies as to whether or not we know God. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. I ain't no dinosaur. I'm not somebody who's been frozen for 100 years and all of a sudden I just walk here and I'm outdated. I believe the Bible. And if you believe the Bible too, you'd be better off. You'd be able to shout amen a little bit more. They stole from the wrong. But it got worse. And Sunday school, I don't know where y'all at, but the brother referenced, what is that, 1 Timothy chapter 3 or 2 Timothy chapter 3, talking about the conditions of man, how evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Hey, this world ain't getting no better. It's getting worse. As the heart of man grow worse, and as man become all the more ignorant of God, it's getting worse and worse and worse. They stole the cook. They stole the raw. Put on your spiritual seatbelt. If you ain't have it on by now, you need to put it on at this next point as we think about the iniquity of Hophni and Phinehas. Not only did they stole the cook and the raw, they slept with the women at the tabernacle. Say what? Yeah. So you don't think I'm making this up. Look at verse number 22 in this chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Look at verse number 22. Now, I want y'all to participate because I don't want y'all to say, that brother Otis done changed, but he say some gross stuff out of his mouth. No, I'm going to tell you what the Bible say. Verse 22. The Bible says, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel. So Eli knew what was going on. The people were talking. And now, watch this. And how they what? What's that next word? Lay. Thank you, brother. L-A-Y. How they lay with the women that assemble at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Hey, these boys, and I know Phinehas was a married man, was guilty of adultery. He was sleeping with the women that assemble at the tabernacle. You say, why would you preach a message like this in church? Here's why. I was talking to a friend of mine maybe 2 weeks ago. And he works for a Christian insurance company that insures churches. And he said, once a week, there is an average of 2 sexual immoral claims filed against the church twice a week. Ain't nothing new under the sun. There's all kind of sinful sexual immorality going on in the church. I just hope I got the wrong church this morning. Amen. Amen. They were sleeping with the women in the church. Phinehas was for sure a married man. I had him a little something going on the side. And I don't have to name names. If you've been halfway listening to what's going on in this day and age in which we live, there have been men that we have honored as good godly men. Their names are being smeared through the mud now because of the sinful sexual behavior that they've been guilty of in the house of God. In the house of God. In the house of God. That's why I'm going to chase a few rabbits here. I hope y'all don't mind. That's why young girls, when your dad or your mama or your pastor try to tell you to put some clothes on, you ought to want to put some clothes on and cover up. That's why, boys, when you're told to keep your hands to yourself, you ought to keep your hands to yourself so you don't get too excited about the wrong thing before time. Yeah, man. The iniquity of Hophni and Phinehas. Let me give you a third thing. Not only the ignorance and the iniquity, but number 3, notice the influence of Hophni and Phinehas. Look with me at verse number 17 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. The Bible says, wherefore, so as a result of, wherefore, watch this now, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Can I tell you what happened? Hophni and Phinehas, their sinful behavior influenced God's people to hate the offering of God. In other words, their sinful behavior turned God's people against the things of God. That's why those of us in leadership ought to show enough to be careful. I ought to show enough be careful. I ain't pointing my finger at nobody. I'm examining my own life. Hey, I know that I could be a stumbling block in the lives of my wife and children.
Amen. I got a little son now. Not to exclude my daughter. I got a little 3-year-old boy. He looks like me. And oftentimes, he want to be just like his dad. He put on my shoes and walk around. And if, in case he forget, his mama will tell him he looked like his daddy. And oftentimes, he act like his daddy. He pass gas like his daddy. Yes. Yes. And sometimes God just say, stop. You see that? He watching you. That's why it's so important for you to be the Christian man I saved you to be. This is why it's so important for you to love his mama like you should. This is why it's so important for you, for him to find you reading your Bible and praying and stuff like that. Not for show. Hey, this is why it's so important for you, Daddy, to be faithful to the house of God. Because your boy, he's watching you. He's looking for an example. And whether we like it or not, we got influence. I'm getting ahead of myself, but we got influence. And you either going to influence people for Christ or against Christ. Ain't no middle ground. Ain't no middle ground. And Hophni and Phinehas, they influenced God's people contrary to the things of God. Let me show you what happened. Look with me in this in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Look at verse number 23 and following. The Bible says, and he said unto them, this is Eli talking to his sons, why do ye such things? Why are you doing such sinful behavior? What he should have did was got a bold. Let me say it more so you know what I'm saying. He should have got a board, a 2x4. Y'all know what that is? He should have got a 2x4, and even though he was an old man, he should have got some of the brethren and took they behind the woodshed and scrapped them down and whooped the fire out of them. Yeah, man. They needed to be chastised for their sinful behavior. But he just said, why y'all doing such things? Why y'all doing such things? And let me help you out, Pastor. See, there are a lot of people with them itchy ears. You know why some of those other churches be running over? Here you are faithfully laboring and preaching the gospel and preaching the gospel and struggling and trying to get the ones that are here to stick and stay. And they going, not this crowd, but crowds in this area, they running those itchy ear preachers. You know why? They don't want nobody to stand up and lovingly tell them the truth from the Word of God. They don't want nobody who gonna preach on their sin. They don't want nobody to tell them that the way they're living is ungodly. So they run to those Joel Osteen type. When Pastor Van Noor gave me this earpiece right here, he gonna tell me, talking about, brother, I've been preaching against earring for the longest. And here I go wearing one of these things right here. He was trying to, you know, soften the blow. I said, yeah, man, you got one of them Joel Osteen things going on here. Yeah, like he been watching Joel on the side. I'm just playing. Take that out the tape if you're recording it. Amen. But let's look at it on a more serious note. In verse 23 again, and he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealing. Eli said, I know what's going on by all this people. The people are talking. Look at verse 24. Nay, my son, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to what? Transgress. Eli said, hey, you've influenced God's people to sin. They abhorred the offering. They were turned against the offerings of God. They were no longer offering sacrifices to God. They were no longer interested in the things of God. Confessing sin. Offering up sacrifices before God that they might be a pure and holy people. The priests had turned them against all that. How many people, watch this now as I ask you a question. How many people have been turned against the things of God because of your sin and my sin? How many? Hey, how many children have been turned against the things of God because of the sin of mom and daddy? You don't believe that happened? That stuff happens all the time. I know a church where, and I'm not gossiping, this public information. That's what my wife tell me. Yeah, man. I know a church,
Pastor, man of God, been faithful for years at a time. And he did something that was contrary to the Bible. Split the church. And there are people that have been in churches for been in that church for 30 years. They've yet to recover. They've yet to recover from the decision he made. All that influence for the cause of Christ went down the drain. And I ain't talking about young people. I'm talking about grown people that don't even know how to get up again. Don't even have a heart to go find another Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church and start over. Because of the influence that he had with the decision that he made. And I ask you again, how many of our co-workers have been turned against God or the things of God because of your life and my life? And maybe not us specifically. I don't know you. But watch this. I got a little part-time job I work when I'm in town sometimes. And I've talked to some of my co-workers. And this is no justification on their part. But you know what I've heard? I've heard lost folks say, man, I ain't going to that church because there's hypocrites in that church. I come to that church and they look at me like I'm about to rob a bank or something. There's no justification on that part. You know why? On their part, you know why? Because they're hypocrites in Walmart and they still go there. Yeah, man. So that's not that's real. They really try to use the inconsistencies of Christians to justify them not going to the house of God and getting right with God. There's no justification, but that ought not to be the case amongst God's people. This lost and dying world ought not be able to excuse themselves from God and the things of God because of our hypocrisy.
Amen.
But that's what we have here. Hophni and Phinehas, they influence God's people contrary to the things of God. And let me give you this warning. We need to be careful about shutting our eyes towards sin in our own personal life and sin in the church. It needs to be dealt with. Boy, by the grace of God, we ought to want to set out to keep as short an account of sin, with sin as we possibly can. Hey, don't let it linger. Get right with God. Deal with it, whatever it is. I like what Brother Johnny said. Hey, we had a good God bless time, but there were a few times when there were a few fender benders. And people had to go to each other and apologize and this and that and the other. Hey, that's the Christian way. That's the Bible way. Amen. Don't let it linger. Husband and wife, don't let it linger. There are times when my wife and I can have a good time. And we allow some little fox to creep in there. And boy, sometimes it takes us a day or two to get it right. Boy, I hate that time. I hate that time. We wasting time. There are times when we both want to do things the way God would have us do it. And little things come up. And honey, you know what? I was wrong. I apologize. Yeah, I was wrong too, honey. Please forgive me. And that thing get right back sweet. The Spirit of God move right back in. And we get back to loving on each other again. Amen. Influence. Influence. I said it. Whether you like it or not, we all got influence. Young people at your schools, you got influence. Your classmates know you go to Bible Way Baptist Church. Your classmates know you're a Christian. And you either influencing them for Christ or contrary to Christ. I ain't trying to be mean. I'm just a messenger. And notice, Not only did Hophni and Phinehas, here's the next level. Not only did Hophni and Phinehas influence the people contrary to God, they influenced God to judge them. Oh, yeah. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 11. I feel like I need to hurry up now. I done labor too long on some of the stuff I'm talking about. Chase too many rabbits. Deal with me, Jesus. Help me. 1 Samuel chapter 3, look at verse number 11. The Bible says, and the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. And that day I will perform against who? Eli, all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. Verse 13. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the what? Iniquity. Remember point two, the iniquity in Hophni and Phinehas. The iniquity which he knoweth because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. God said, I'm going to judge the house of Eli because of the iniquity of his sons, which he failed to deal with. Verse 14, and therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor with offering forever. God said, I'm going to deal with them. I'm going to deal with them. I'm going to judge them because of the sin of his sons. I'm going to judge the house of Eli. I'm going to judge the family of Eli. Look at 1 Samuel chapter number 4. Turn with me quickly now and look at verse number 11. War had broken out, and Hophni and Phinehas, their responsibility was to bring the ark of the Lord unto the battlefield. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse number 11. The Bible says, and the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were what? Slain. You know what happened? God had them killed.
Yeah.
As a token of his judgment because of the iniquity that these boys were guilty of, God judged them. They influenced God to judge them. Now, these boys were not saved. I don't have no other reason but to believe, and I don't say this with in a laughing manner, they died and went to hell. Now, if you know something other than that, you want to show me afterwards, that's fine. But make sure it's from the Bible. Now, I don't want no bootleg stuff that you done got off the internet somewhere. Make sure it's from the Bible. I believe they died and went to hell. But let me make this point right here. God will judge his people. Does not the Bible declare that judgment begins at the house of God? Hey, I believe that there are many backslidden Christians that have died prematurely, and just God said, you ain't going to do right. Come on, let me bring you home. Let me go and take you out and come on home, because you ain't going to do right. You're not serious about getting to know me and making me known. You might well come on home. God killed these boys, but he didn't stop there. Look with me at, in the same chapter 4, look with me at verse 15 and following. The Bible says, now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. So he was an old man. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there has been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons, also Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. Verse 18. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Verse 19. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. Verse 20, and about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. Can I tell you what happened? As we think about the influence of Hophni and Phinehas, not only did they influence God to kill them, but God made it so that when the news of what had happened got back to Eli fell over dead. Not only that, his daughter-in-law, giving birth, died, giving birth to her son. Phinehas' wife died, and the child was named Ichabod. The glory of the Lord has departed. They influenced God to judge them because of their iniquity. How many of you ever heard that saying, ignorance is bliss? You ever heard that? Somebody would say, well, you're better off not knowing. Let me help you with something. When it's come to the Lord Jesus Christ, ignorance is never bliss. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, now is the time for you to come to know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. You say, well, I'm saved. I got that settled. Well, certainly we stand to grow closer to our God. Certainly we can use an increase in our intimate knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly we ought to have the attitude of Paul, that I might know him. Watch this. That we might have the influence we ought to have for the cause of Christ. Would you stand to your feet? Head bowed, eyes closed. You've listened well, and I appreciate it. And I don't know the way you normally do your invitation. So what I want to do, Pastor Rick, is I want to pray.
And if it's okay with you, after I pray, I'll turn the invitation over unto you. Is that okay? Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, I do thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, dear God. And Lord, thank you for, I believe, speaking to our hearts. And God, I know that dear God, is a token of your love for us. And God, I do thank you. I know I haven't arrived in my Christian life. And I know I could use an increase in my knowledge of thee, dear God. And I pray and ask you to help me. Not only me, this thy people. Help us, Lord God, to have an even greater effort in getting to know you. Help us, Lord, to set our time in our daily lives to spend in thy word. And God, that we might know you. And Lord, as we grow in the grace and knowledge of thee, help us, Lord, use us to make you known. For I know that's your heart desire we find in your word, that we might know you and make you known, dear God. And Lord, I pray and thank you for this pastor and this thy people. And God, that you'd help us, Lord, have your will and way during this hour. And Lord, if there's anybody here that does not know your son, again, the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, may they come to a saving knowledge of you during this hour. In your name we pray. Amen.